Mark chapter 11. I did that last week, you didn't I? How sometimes in all that searching and grasping, we can end up messing up our faith because we're trying to help God. Instead of just looking to Him as our source of life, instead of looking to Him as the one that's got it all in control, we think He needs our help. And when we do that, sometimes it's easy for us to take our eyes off of the goal, off of the prize, and we get distracted and then wonder why things aren't working out. All we have to do is go back to Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. This song doesn't say we aren't entitled to the other things. We are. It's part of our covenant blessing, but we need to keep things in the right order. Jesus first. Jesus always first. Whether I've got something or whether I don't doesn't change my love for Him. Doesn't change whether I've seen my faith come to pass, turn into sight, or whether I'm in that waiting period, that waiting on the breakthrough. My eyes don't change. My sight doesn't change. Amen? Because if I truly believe I've received, then nothing would change anyways. Is that true? Because I've already got it in my heart. It hasn't manifested yet, but if I'm in faith, I've already got it, so I shouldn't be changing. I shouldn't be moving around. So let's go to Mark 11, chapter 23. Some of you were here last week. Some of you were not. We're just going to review a little bit quickly, if I can. We'll start with verse 22. And Jesus said, well, let's pray first. Father, we just come again this morning with thankful hearts. Lord, we just thank You for this precious word. Lord, even as I was studying in my office earlier out of Genesis, Father, how clear it was over and over again that when doubt comes into our hearts, when we start to question the integrity of what You say, Father, You just bring Your word again. You bring Your promise again. You speak Your word again. And that word builds our faith. That word encourages our faith. It strengthens our faith, Father God, and puts us over till we see what You've promised come to pass in our lives. And so, Father, it's that word that we look at this morning. Father, I believe that each one of us is believing You for great things in our lives, for increase. And yet, Father, we look to Jesus. And we look to Jesus because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Without looking to Him, we have no faith. Without looking to Him, our faith wouldn't even start, Father. So we keep our eyes on Jesus as we believe You for the blessings that You've promised. We keep first things first. We seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things are added unto us. And we give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory. And we believe You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can y'all say amen to that? Amen. You know, it struck me as I was studying in Genesis this morning, and there's other places in the Bible. God's not mad at us when doubt creeps in. He's not. When we're believing, when we've been standing, waiting for the breakthrough for a long period of time, sometimes doubt will start to try to make its way in. But that doesn't make God angry with you. That doesn't make God give up on you and say, well, they're out of faith, forget it, it can't happen for them. No, He brings His word again and strengthens us. Amen? How many of you have ever had that? You know, when you're believing God for something and time goes on, you're in the land of a little while. Time goes on, your faith starts to, doubt comes in. And then the word of the Lord comes again, maybe in a little different way. And it just strengthens you again. And you go, yeah, I'm picking myself back up. I'm standing on His promises till I see it. And we will see it. You're all laughing like you don't think I could do it or something. With God, all things are possible. Anyway, so we all have that where doubt tries to come in. And just remember, when that happens, is go back to the word. Go back to the promise. We were yesterday, our little granddaughter, Tally, our oldest granddaughter, she's what now, 7? And she just is a horse lover. And so Papa started messing things up there last night. So last night after dinner, I pulled out my laptop and went on Kijiji, and I started helping her find a horse. And I was really messing with her mom and dad. And I even got so far as to say, "Tal, Daddy said you need a barn," but I said, "If Daddy were to take his tractor out of the garage and put it outside, you could put the horses in the garage." And so she would keep going back, "Mom and Dad, look what the saddles come with it." And anyway, then at the end of it, and I said, "Tally, you know why Papa's showing you this?" And she goes, "No, why?" I said, "So that you get a vision for it, so that you can see yourself with a horse, so that you can believe God for it." And then I said, "Oma's going to start teaching on having a vision board." And she's 7 years old, and she said, "I want to come when she's teaching that." But it'll work for kids too, right? So we keep it in front of them, and it's part of my heart in having some land is I want to bless my granddaughter with a horse, or at least, you know, be part of that. And that's just the Father's heart. That's how he looks at us. He goes, "Oh, that's what interests them? I'd love to bring that into their life. Will they believe me for it?" So we're not saying that, you know, it's just going to come automatically. We're telling her, "Tally, you got to believe God for it." Amen. And then the other kids is, you know, "Well, Papa, you said you would get her one." I said, "When are you getting mine?" I said, "I didn't say I was getting yours." "Yeah, but you said you were getting Tally one." I said, "I did say that." Anyway, you know how kids will be then. So I was really messing with her mom and dad. That's what I was really trying to do. Getting him to put his tractor outside. And anyway, but God wants us to live by faith. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, we kind of think that I thought of this. No, he's the author of it. First of all, for our salvation, you can't get saved without faith. And to every man has been granted the measure of faith. Even the unsaved has enough faith to believe God for salvation, because he needs faith to do it. Amen? And our faith can change. Our faith can increase. Our faith can decrease. Our faith can grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when doubt tries to come in, and doubt will try to come in because there's a defeated enemy that's always yapping in your ear, you step out and believe in God for healing, and you don't really think that's going to come to pass. Have you ever heard that, or am I the only one? Don't you still feel that pain? That's what he does. Amen? And I'm convinced a lot of the reason we don't see it as fast as we should is that our corresponding actions aren't yet lining up. We say we believe, but we don't change our actions. And I'm guilty of the same thing. Our grandson, our oldest grandson, just going to be 13 next week, was on the hammock up there early in the afternoon, and he fell out of the hammock and fell on his wrist. And, I mean, he went green and white, and, you know, it hurt. And so by the time the night was over, he had two rulers and duct tape. Thank God for duct tape. But right away, our daughter said, "Do you want Oma?" I wasn't there yet. "Do you want Oma to pray for you?" And he said, "Yes." So she prayed, and she prayed for healing. And then afterwards, I realized that here now it's 2-3 hours later, and all of us are treating him as if his healing didn't happen. Right? "Caleb, are you okay? Does your arm hurt?" You know, or, "Hey," and that's what happened. Why doesn't somebody take a ruler and tape it up so it stays straight? And I got thinking afterwards, we're negating the prayer we prayed by acting as if it didn't happen. Does that make sense? Now, don't take this to the pastor says we're, you know, if you need medical help, get medical help. All right? If a car runs into you and you break your hip, go get help. Call the ambulance. You can pray, but call the, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying, don't take this to the extreme where we start being goofy about it. But sometimes I think that's what it is, you know. when Jesus stirred the water, or when the water was, when the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus came into that portico and said, you know, would you be healed? He said, well, there's no one here to put me in the water. When the water stirred up, and Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Well, what would have happened if that man said, I just told you I need somebody to help me get up and get in the water? No, it's when the man took the action to obey the word of the Lord that the healing manifested. Amen? But if he had just stayed still laid there like a victim and I can't move, he'd still be there. So we're talking about waiting on the breakthrough. Sometimes we're doing some things in the time of waiting for the breakthrough that maybe we should be changing. Or at least looking at and say, Lord, am I doing something that's counterintuitive to my faith or counteractive to my faith? And I think we do it easier than we when we ought. You know, how many times, I got this toothache and it's killing me. No, the toothache's not killing you. It's hurting your jaw, but it's not killing you. We're not having your funeral because of a toothache. But do you see how easy we are with our words, how we use our words and then wonder sometimes why it's not happening the way it ought. So we're waiting on the breakthrough. So let's go here to Luke, Mark chapter 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For truly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, a mountain being anything that's an obstacle in your way, and we sung about we have the victory, amen? If we have the victory, then the mountain's got to move. Says unto this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So here we see an inference already that you can say something, you can believe something, but there might be a period of time before it's in your hand. It says here, but believes that what he says, when do you say it? You say it now. But because it says will come to pass, means that the manifestation of it may take a little while. Right? It doesn't say that he says, he believes what he says, he has now, has right now. No, it says will come to pass. We don't know how long will come to pass is. But when we say it and we believe it, we treat it as if I already have it. It's mine already right now. And we'll see that again in the next verse. It says, therefore, so Jesus is saying the therefore because of what I just said. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So here we see the same thing. We ask when we pray, we believe we receive them when we pray, but then there could be a period of time till we receive them. But the promise is that we will receive them. And I don't know why it's like that. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, I said this last week, you know, she'd spent all that she had, spent all her money at doctors and this and that, and grew worse. Now she's breaking the law, but she had heard of Jesus. There was something sparked in her faith just to have heard of Jesus. And she said to herself, if I can just get in that crowd, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Amen? And because she wasn't supposed to be in that crowd, she didn't announce that she was in that crowd, and she just made her way. You know, how do we know she wasn't crawling on her hands and feet among people's legs, just trying to get to Jesus, but had enough faith that she was so determined, and she set her point of contact saying that if I can touch his garment, I will be healed. And she made her way to Jesus, touched his garment, didn't say anything to her. He didn't say anything to him, or she didn't say anything to him, and he didn't say anything to her. But I believe that while she was making her way to him, he was preaching healing, and her faith was being built. She had heard of him, and that was enough to start her on her journey. But now she's in that crowd hearing him speak. Maybe it wasn't on healing, just hearing Jesus speak. Hearing his words was enough to build her faith. She came in, touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples go, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look how crowded we are, Lord. Everybody's bumping into you." We could say it's like being in a tight elevator. Somebody's going to jostle you. Somebody's going to, you know, the joke last night was our daughter and Lindsay and Irene getting on an airplane last week, and it was so crowded in the, it never makes sense to me why airlines don't load their planes from the back to the front. But anyway, common sense just doesn't seem to be there. Right? They always load them from the front to the back, which just does not make sense to me. Anyway, so they're trying to get through to their place, and it's they're jostling in the aisles, and the next thing, somebody comes up, and Lindsay's glasses are all, you know. Why? Because they're in a press, and it's crowded, and it's nobody's intentionally touching you, but you're being touched. Well, here Jesus is in that kind of a crowd, and he says, "Who touched me?" Why? Because virtue, he says, "I know virtue went out of me. I know that same power went out of me because of a lady's faith." Amen? So her believing and receiving didn't take very long. We don't know why it takes some time, some other, you know. I believe that part of it sometimes is God does what he does mostly through people. You know, if you're believing for finances, well, it doesn't usually come, you know, You don't see nuggets falling from the sky, and you know, it works through people. So when you pray and believe that you've received, he's got to work things out in to see it come into your heart and into your life. You see that? So sometimes that's why we have this period of waiting. So we see in this scripture, in both verse 22 and 23, that it's totally scriptural to be waiting on the breakthrough, or to be waiting on the answer. We could say it that way. Do you see that? So I said there was four things. I only got two of them or three of them last week. The first thing we do while we're waiting on the breakthrough is we wait on God. When somebody serves you in a restaurant, what did I say? What do we call them? We call them a waiter or a waitress, right? What are they doing? They're serving. So while you're in waiting on the breakthrough, continue to serve God with all your heart. And the longer it goes, there's a tendency for people to start questioning God's integrity and saying, "Lord, why aren't you doing this?" Well, that's not faith, no matter how long it takes. What I was studying this morning is God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and it was a 25-year wait. But did the promise come to pass? Yes. We don't know why it was a 25-year wait. I don't know why that was like that. But God's word was sure. God's promise was sure. But Abraham had to wait on the breakthrough. And Abraham had to believe God in that period. And Abraham himself, we'll see later on, had doubts. We have a people group making war on most of the world today because of Abraham's doubt. The Lord said to me years ago while we were in Ramah, he said, "Just because Abraham made an Ishmael doesn't mean I didn't give him Isaac." So even when we mess up, even when we try to help God, even when we try to help him see our it's a mess, he'll still give you your promise if you'll stay faithful to him. Did you hear that? Even when you try to help God and you make a mess of things, he will still give you the promise if you'll trust him. So we serve God. We talked about, you know, if you want to just write these Psalms down, I'm not going to go back to them all. Psalm 27:14, Psalm 33:20, Psalm 37:7, Psalm 123:2, Psalm 130 verse 5. They all talk about waiting on the Lord. Or some kind of aspect of that, okay? Waiting patiently. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Well, that means you're not fretting, you're not pulling your hair out, you're not wondering how it's going to happen, you're not trying to make it happen. You're floating, just like what I said a few weeks ago in the pool. You're resting in him. You're resting in his promises. Faith, on the one hand, is a fight, We fight the good fight of faith, Timothy, Paul tells Timothy. But on the other hand, according to Hebrews, faith is a rest. We fight the good fight. Where we fight it is, it's a lot of time a soulical battle, because the enemy is trying to come into our mind and negate what the Word of God has said. So it's a soulical battle. But faith itself is resting on the promises of God that it's yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I don't have to stress about it. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to make it happen. I just simply have to believe him. So that's what partly waiting on the Lord. Hosea chapter 12 we looked at. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, but as for you, return to your God, hold fast to mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually. Wait on your God continually, not when you feel like it, not when things are going well, not when things are going bad. Wait on him continually. And this word wait means, it's the Hebrew word do. But it's spelled with a K, or it's pronounced with a K, but it's, and it means to bind together by twisting. Think about that. So we entwine ourselves with the Word of God. We entwine ourselves with his promises. And then I can't help when I read that it's to bind together by twisting. Ecclesiastes 4 tells us that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Or not quickly broken. I shared that at the wedding on Friday. So some of the synonyms for it are to collect, to expect, to gather, to look, to be patient, to tarry, to wait for, or to wait upon. So we wait continually for the Lord. We allow him to entwine our lives with his life. We allow him to entwine our life or twist our life with his promises. We allow him to twist our lives together with his word. And then we wait continually on him, and the promise is sure, and it's yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? The second thing we do is we serve the Lord. And we're supposed to, well, that's partly waiting on him. We do that. We serve joyfully. And I put here, and I highlighted it again this morning, we serve joyfully, because if we don't, if we back away, and people do it all the time, we back away as if God is withholding something from us. And something in us is, you almost get, it's almost like people get mad at God because this waiting on the breakthrough is taking too long in their mind or in their heart. And then they start to resent. Well, that's not a good place to be. That's questioning his integrity. It says, I am the Lord God, I cannot lie. But we start to believe the word of the enemy. We start to believe the circumstances. We start to believe what's around us. And we start to somehow think that somehow God is withholding on us. He's not a withholder. He daily loads us with benefits, the Bible says in Psalms. Doesn't say he daily gives us benefits. He daily loads us. My cup overflows. That's the promise. That's the truth. And if you start believing that he's withholding, then you start resenting him as your loving God and Father. Amen? But if you continually wait on him joyfully, that can't come to pass. That can't happen. I said to Pastor Irene, I said, the saddest thing for me is to go online and look at the loudest critics of what Brother Hagin or Brother Copeland or those in what we would call the Word of Faith camp, the loudest critics of our message are those that have been a part of our camp and somehow have felt that God is withholding on them and now says, oh, they're just to claim it and name it. They've lost the concept of what faith is all about. It's not about us. It's out about us believing what God's promised and said. And when you say it doesn't work, you're saying God's not true. And so what's happened is these people have moved away, and now they're critics of the very thing that they once believed. So don't say it couldn't happen to you. But we need to believe, we just need to stay joyful as we're waiting. And that's why I'm stressing things like my life in Christ. I want to get to the place that even if I wait and it never comes to pass, it doesn't matter. Because my life is in Christ. It's all about Christ in me. Amen? And if the only thing that I benefit from my promise, from my salvation, is that I make heaven, that's enough. It'll help us from getting into where we stop questioning God's integrity. Now, the other side of that ditch is we don't believe God will do anything for us, and that's not right either. Okay? But I'm saying we're going to serve him whether we see it or whether we don't. And I sometimes think when we see it that way, we see it come to pass faster. Don't say that pastor doesn't want to see us blessed. No, pastor truly wants to see you blessed. But it's in the big picture, and we know there's, you know, I've just been reading so about some of the Chinese prisoners and what they've gone through and what we have, and yet it seems that they're more devoted to him than we are, right? Why? Because that's their only hope. You know, I've heard somebody say years ago, he said, the reason we don't see what we would call significant miracles much in North America is because we have so many other alternatives. If you're in the Congo and you're swimming across a river and a crocodile bites your leg off, well, you better believe God or you're done. And there's no alternatives. There's nowhere else to run. And so when they believe God, miracles happen. But here we have so many alternatives. We have so many other things we could do. Like I say, yes, you know, oh, put some rulers on it, tie it up with some tape, and let's go see our doctor. Amen? That's not wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, are we putting him first? And when you don't have any other alternative, that's what we see people doing, putting him first. And they're very content in their faith, even though they have very little. And it's what I said last week. It is in the notes again for today. Paul said, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, I've learned in all things to be content. In other words, whether my fridge is full or my cupboards are full or whether my cupboards are bare, it doesn't change the fact that I'm a content man. And Paul told Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. If you have an attitude of gratitude, whether you have lots or whether you have nothing, you're just thankful anyways. Amen? And out of that, you can be content. I know people like that. I know people that just, whether things are going well or whether things are going, it doesn't change how they live. They're content. They're solid in their faith in Jesus Christ, and they're happy no matter what. They're joyful no matter what. And that's our goal. Amen? So, the number two thing we do is we praise him during the wait. And we looked at Acts 16. I'm not going to go there again, but we looked at Acts 16. When Paul and Silas were in prison, and at midnight, so in the dark time, say in the dark time, they started singing hymns and praising God. And they did it so loud that all the other prisoners heard it, the Bible tells us. So in your dark time, in the darkest time of your waiting for the breakthrough, don't forget to praise. Don't forget to sing. And you know what? You probably won't feel like it, but that's got nothing to do with it. I said at this wedding on Friday, I said, love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Love is a decision. I said, there's going to be days where you feel like you love her, and there's going to be days where you feel like you don't, but you love her anyway. Well, that's how this is. Paul and Silas were just beaten. They probably, you know, I don't know if they used the cat of nine tails on them, but their backs would have been sore. They were held in the very, very center of the prison in stocks and chains. Maybe because of those stocks and chains, they were sitting in ways where their wounds were now hurting more because, you know, how you when you hurt yourself, you protect something. Well, maybe they couldn't because of how they were positioned. So they probably didn't feel like singing, but they sang anyway. In their dark time, they sang anyways. And what the Bible says, I pointed out the word suddenly. Suddenly, the prison doors were open. Suddenly, the chains fell off. And it didn't just benefit Paul and Silas, it benefited every other prisoner. Then it tells us that the jailer was going to fall on his sword, thinking they had all escaped, and they said, no, we're here. And the oppressor wanted to hear about salvation. So your praise and your worship in that dark time will benefit you, but it will also benefit others. The jailer and his family got born again. Maybe that's sometimes why we have a wait. Maybe that's sometimes why we're in a dark time. Amen? This is what the Spirit of the Lord said to me last Sunday morning at my death, and I shared it last week. He said, your praise and your singing will bring on your suddenly. And your suddenly will affect those around you, setting them free. Both those that are oppressed and those that oppress, the prisoner and the jailer, will be set free. And then he said, sometimes your wait isn't about you at all. God is orchestrating and setting up circumstances and situations so that when your breakthrough comes, it affects many positively. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe we can see that all over and over. So now today, that was our review. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6. And I'm just going to do these two things probably quickly. If I don't, we'll pick it up next week. I knew already this morning we wouldn't get done today, and that's okay. Galatians, General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. That's what I meant by that. Colossians, General Electric Power Company. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. So what we do, the third thing we do while we're waiting for the breakthrough is we do good. We wait on God, we serve God, we praise and we worship God, and we do good. And while we do good, we don't give up. Amen? Because if we give up, we run the risk of forfeiting the very thing we're believing God for. Brother Hagin said all the time that we've known him, and that's been 30-something years now. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard him say this. His life quote is, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. It's a good slogan, especially if you live it. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. So let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, and we all have a due season, in due season we shall reap. Does it say might reap? No, shall reap. Very positive. In due season we shall reap if we do not give up. Dr. Savelle, when we would travel with Dr. Savelle, he would always say, don't quit. His life mandate is to teach the body of Christ not to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. And he would always say to us, there's no quit in me. There's no quit in me. No matter what I face, there's no quit in me. I will not quit. And you see these people walk in victory. Amen? So we see here in the Word, well, I'm going to say this. During your wait, Satan will buffet you. He'll try to move you like a reed in the wind. Amen? He'll try to get you to sway. He'll try to get you to waver. He'll put pressure on you. He'll say, he'll put pressure on you to see what you're made of, to see what's really, really in the core. Have you ever heard that sometimes, like in a setting like this, people will use all the right words, right? They'll speak to you like their faith is working. All the right words come out the right way. But when you see those same people, when the pressure is on, you know, when they got their third notice from the bank that they're going to foreclose on your mortgage, that's when you really get to see what people are made of. That's when you really get to see, even for yourself, am I in faith or am I in mental assent? Do I really believe God or am I just saying I believe God? And it's when the screws get tighten, when the pressure's on, we find out what we're made of. When the doctor's report says, oh, I found a nodule of cancer, it's what we do in those times that we find out where we really are, what we really believe God of, you know? And if the first thing out of your mouth, not because you've got to make it up, or, but the first thing out of your mouth is, by his stripes I was healed, it's only cancer, Jesus defeated cancer, and you say something like that and you truly believe it, you're in faith. Amen? So it's easy to talk faith, to walk faith when everything's going good, but there will be times in that period waiting for the breakthrough where there's some pressure. We're under some pressure right now. Lots of you are under some pressure right now. But you know what? We sing about our victory. We sing about our greater one that's in us. Amen? We smile. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him. Resist him. He's a persistent cuss, some have said. He is. He'll come and he'll come and he'll come and he'll come. But as we resist him and we resist, he will go. I know it's true for my own life. I've seen it happen. You know what? And the funny thing is sometimes you can go months resisting him. And then all of a sudden, a week or two goes by and you go, hey, I'm not dealing with that anymore. You come out the other end of the fight and all of a sudden, you know, and you just, hey, that's over. I'm not dealing with that anymore. That mental pressure isn't there anymore. Why? Because you've resisted him. You've done what the word said. And finally he says, well, they got it. And he goes. Amen? And the cool thing about it is we don't have to enforce the victory, or we don't have to obtain the victory. Jesus already did that. We just have to enforce the victory. And we do that by standing. We do that by not quitting. Amen? Mark 4, 14 to 17 talks about, we don't have to go there, but talks about the seed being thrown on the third kind of ground. They received the word gladly, so in other words, with faith, but then when trials and tribulations and persecutions come, they abandon the word because of these things. Well, that's in that waiting for the breakthrough period.